Thank you for joining us again. This is lecture number 13 called Turn Back the Clock. It's on how to achieve maximum health and the health message. It begins with an illustration of a guy by the name of Marcus Jones, who worked well for 30 years, saving money, about ready to retire, and he has this tremendous heart attack, and an ambulance rushes him to the hospital, and a triple bypass surgery just saves his life in an instant. But yet, he spends all his money that he saved up for retirement on the medical bills of that surgery. The point is that we're making is you can't afford to have poor health. You can't afford to have it from a monetary standpoint. You can't afford to have it from a physical standpoint. You can't afford to have it from a psychological standpoint. God has outlined principles of health in His Word. First text here is 3 John 2. Now, I'll take you past Dr. Breslow's study from UCLA, where he talks about how people can live for 11 years longer. And he studied 7,000 people who had 7 basic health practices. But we'll go past that. The first key text is 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So God Himself longs for us to be in health. God Himself longs for us to have an abundant, healthy life. When you are preaching this, this text is one you'll want to give emphasis to. The Lord says that He longs for us to be in health. Some people say, well, God is not interested in our physical bodies. God is not interested in the health of our bodies. He's only interested in our minds and souls, so eat what you want, drink what you want, it doesn't make any difference. But this text says that God is interested in our physical health as much as being interested indeed in our spiritual health. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaks about the gospel, and he says in John 10 and verse 10, here the Lord Himself talks about the importance of health and His desire for us. See, it's not God's desire that our bodies deteriorate and become sick and wear down. John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly." So the Lord wants us to have life, and He wants us to have it more abundantly. So He's listed principles of health in the Bible. You know, if you have a car and that car breaks down, it may be because you haven't followed the manufacturer's instructions. And so we talk here about how to follow the manufacturer's instructions. The Lord has given us in the Bible the manufacturer's instructions. That's what the Bible is all about. Now, we begin discussing a vegetarian diet and the original diet given to the human race. We do that in page 8 and 9 about the original diet. We are very careful to point out, and I want each of you to again emphasize this fact, the Bible does not teach that it is a sin to eat meat. Now that may surprise some of you, and I have been a vegetarian for at least 35 years, almost 40 years now. I've not eaten meat. But yet, if I go straight by the Bible does not teach vegetarianism as a doctrine of the church. Neither does the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There's nothing in our baptismal creed which says that vegetarianism is a doctrine of the church. Why then am I a vegetarian? Because vegetarianism is the most healthful way of life, clearly demonstrated by science. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them a vegetarian diet. Now, incidentally, if you try to prove too much from the Bible, you end up proving not enough at all. In this sermon, this is what we want to do. Here's what our goal is. We want to first show people that God wants them to have abundant health. Secondly, we want to show them that the original diet given is a vegetarian diet. Thirdly, we want to show them that after the flood, God gave permission to eat meat, but never the unclean foods, and He still calls us today from the unclean foods. We want to help people over the unclean foods and to reduce the amount of meat intake in their body. This sermon is also designed to help them overcome alcohol, tobacco, and any defiling drugs. That's as far as we want to take them in this sermon. Now, as they grow in Christ, as they grow in the Lord, they will often want to know more and more about better health, and many of them will become vegetarians. But that's not a doctrine. You need to be very careful in that point. So we go to Genesis chapter 1, and here in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible is very plain. It says in Genesis, the first chapter, that God had an original diet for man. The Bible does not say that in that original diet, Adam took a stone flint knife and jumped on the back of a cow and slit its throat as he wrapped his arm around the cow, and the cow fell dead. And the Bible doesn't say that Adam and Eve had roast beef their first night together. Neither did they have charcoal broiled steak. The Bible is very plain. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So the original diet that God gave to the human race enabled them to live happy, long, abundant, healthy lives. That was a diet of fruit, nuts, grains, and vegetables. Methuselah lived to be up to 969 years old. What does Methuselah's name mean? Does anybody know? It means when he dies, the flood comes. So when he died, the flood waters came. It was after the flood that God gave permission to eat meat, but yet he never gave permission to eat unclean foods. See, the unclean foods were not only given to the Jews, because when Noah brought food into the ark, the uncleans came in by what? Twos, and the cleans came in by what? Seven. So there was clean and unclean before the ark. But how then can we tell the difference between clean and unclean? I'd like you to take your material and turn over to page 10 and 11. Genesis 7 verse 2 talks about clean and unclean that Noah brings into the ark. How do you tell about what is clean and what is unclean? Now I pause on page 11, Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 11, so that we can read indeed how to know between clean and unclean, because many people don't know this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 14. Here it is, Deuteronomy 14. And the Bible talks about Deuteronomy 14, verse 6. It's important that you make plain these dietary principles. It says, you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the split hoof in two parts. So if it's a clean animal, it has to have a cloven hoof. That's a split hoof, and it also has to be able to chew its cud. So it has to chew the cud and have a split hoof. We go through that and teach people how to distinguish between clean and unclean foods. The Bible basically talks about animals, it talks about fish, and it talks about the fowl of the air. The animals have a split hoof and they chew their cud. What does it mean to chew the cud of the animal? Chews its food, swallows it, it has a complex digestive system, it spits it back up again. Chews it, then digests it. Now we list some of the common animals that are clean. Page 12, an ox, a sheep, a deer, a goat, wild goats, antelope, cows, and gazelle are clean. The unclean animals would be camel, rabbit, swine, rock badger. Incidentally, you'll see those on a chart on page 12. So you might want to do this. Say, what's an unclean animal, everybody? And everybody will say, camel. And then you say, okay, ladies, tonight I want you to go home and take all the camel meat out of your refrigerator and throw it away. How many of you love the Lord so much you're never going to have fried camel anymore? Sir, can you give up fried camel for breakfast tomorrow? Okay, what else is on that chart? There is on that chart as unclean rock badgers. Okay, no more rock badgers and eggs for breakfast. How many are you willing to give up? Somebody says, what's a rock badger? It's kind of like a rat, but it has smoother skin, so no more fried rat rock badgers. Will you ladies make a commitment tonight that you're not going to fry rat rock badgers for your husbands anymore? I guess the next one I don't even have to talk about that's up there on the board. You know, we said that the Bible says don't eat the pig, but I mean, if you don't eat fried rock badger and you don't eat camel sandwiches, why, you guys are not going to eat pig, are you? You're too intelligent to do that. Nobody in America would eat pig, would they? See, what am I doing with my audience at this point? I'm not saying to them, okay, you're lost if you eat pork. I'm rather toying with them a little bit. I'm stimulating their thinking. I'm helping them to see that just as God calls us not to eat the scavengers because they make us sick and deteriorate our health and they're high in fat and high in trichina and high in contamination, I'm helping them to see in a rather calm, humorous way that God's calling us from pork as well, that he lists these with the other thing. So we move on. We point out that hog is a scavenger. Page 13. The material on page 13 is the clearest scientific material that I've seen in print for evangelistic sermons. It talks about, page 13, pork is often affected with trichina larvae or worms. It says when a person eats infected pork, the hard cyst surrounding the larva is dissolved. The trichina worm burrows into the intestine wall and multiplies. And we have all of this material on the screen. And so as you're going over this, simply take your time with this, read it sufficiently. Then we go into the fish area. A fish, according to Deuteronomy 14, verse 9 and 10, must have fins and what? Scales. If it doesn't have fins and scales, the Bible says, indeed, don't eat it. We list the work of Dr. Bruce Halstead, who worked for the United States government, who did a study, and he developed a booklet for flyers who would be shot down in the Pacific on what they could eat in the oceans. And he classified hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish. And he gave pictures of them, said, you can eat these, don't eat these. These have toxicity and poison in them. And you know what Dr. Halstead said? He said, if you lose your manual, and the government commissioned him, so if a flyer would be shot down, they'd know what to eat. He said, if you lose your manual, remember this. If it doesn't have fins and scales, don't eat it. I've often said this. I wish the government would have given me the $100,000, the $200,000 for the study. I would have just told him what the Bible says in the beginning and used the money for it as written, right? Dr. Bruce Halstead, again, confirmed the truthfulness of the Bible. He said, just if you lose the manual, it gets all wet. If it doesn't have fins and scales, don't eat it. What about the whole idea of the issue of the birds of the air? The Bible lists the ones that you can eat and the ones you can't. The Bible does not list chicken as unclean. It does not give it. It lists the scavengers, so that's not in the list. We go from the dietary principles that God gives us into the healthful principles of living, of the beautiful exercise principles that God gives us. We move into wine and talk about wine in the Bible. Wine is a mocker, a strong drink is raging. We go through the issue of wine. We go into the whole issue of smoking in Scripture and point out that God is calling us to a very, very clean life of clean living. He's calling us from alcohol, calling us from tobacco, calling us from anything that affects these bodies of ours. Then we make our appeal, page 24. This sermon clearly outlines that the vegetarian diet is the best, clearly points out that God calls us from unclean foods, points out that God calls us from alcohol and tobacco, and shows the devastating effects of alcohol and tobacco. Then we come to the end. This sermon provides an opportunity to help people struggling with habits. There are going to be people in your audience that are struggling with tobacco, that are struggling with alcohol, that are struggling with unclean foods. And they're going to be really going through a major struggle. You come down to the end. Jesus says, John 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Have you ever struggled to overcome tobacco and you failed? Have you ever wished you could give up alcohol and you failed? Have you ever felt, Lord, I am too weak? It's like Mark Twain said, I can resist anything except temptation. Jesus says, on your own, you can do absolutely nothing. Then in Philippians 4, verse 13, there it is on the screen. Would you read it with me? Read it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things except quit smoking. It doesn't say I can do all things except give up drinking. It doesn't say I can do all things except give up pork. I can do how much, everybody? All things through what? However strong cigarettes are, Christ is stronger. However strong alcohol is, Christ is stronger. However strong the pull of unclean foods are, Christ is stronger. Would you like to say, Jesus, there's some habit I want to give up right now. I want to give up that habit right now. Would you like to bow your head right in your seat? What is that habit? Is it alcohol? Is it tobacco? Is it unclean foods? Would you like to tell Jesus right now, Lord, I want to give up that habit for you. I can't do it without you, but you can give me your strength and your power. Give up that thing right now as we pray. Be very specific when you come to your appeal. Go over the text, I can do anything, I can do nothing unless Christ strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go over the text. Make your appeal. Talk about alcohol. Talk about tobacco. Talk about unclean foods. Ask people that very night to give them up. And they will. And God will strengthen them. And God will empower them. And God will use you to help people have healthier, happier, lives, that live much, much longer with clear brains to understand God's truth for this final hour.